One of the most important questions I get asked over and over and over again from people is, how can I know God's will for my life? And this morning I'm going to help you answer that question. This is what the scriptures say. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you. Say that with me. No matter what happens, always be thankful. No matter what happens. And there's a lot of stuff that can happen. And sometimes it does. What is God's will? No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you. Simple, succinct, to the point, truth, right like an arrow into the heart of our pain. God simply says, your job is to always be thankful, no matter what happens. My job is to run the universe and take care of you. I'll do my job, you do your job, right? Oftentimes, we end up trying to do both God's job and our job. Misery is overestimating how much of the world you command and control, right? One of the sad things I think about living in this country, and when you put it right up next to Thanksgiving, it's hard to have a holiday. Christmas is one thing, Easter is another thing, but Thanksgiving, it's hard to be thankful when you're not. Just to get up one day and say, hey, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful. Sometimes life can be so hard and harsh that it's tough to get up and say, I'm really thankful, out of your heart and out of your soul. And yet this is God's will for us. It is fundamental. It is basic. This is where we start. So how do you do it? One of the best ways is to remember and rehearse all of the reasons behind that command. So what I want to do today in our series, Yay God, I want to talk about God's best gifts. Now, one of the only tough thing about that is time, right? We could be here a very long time. I came with 26. That's narrowed down from a list of 55. Then I thought, 26, I'm not sure I can do 26 in 30 minutes. So I brought it down to 7. Yay, God, you give the best gifts. Let's start with a fundamental fact that we all need to keep in mind. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change. Period. Shifting shadows, right? Have you ever tried to take a picture of someone and get just the right shadows? Shadows change with the position, your position, the position of the light, the subject. I mean, there are a lot of variables. So God is simply saying is this, every good and perfect gift comes down from me. Everything you have is a gift. Amen? All of it. Your life is a gift. Every perfect gift we have. So here's the principle. We have one master donor, and he's in a good mood. He's had a good year. Okay? One master donor. Every good and perfect gift. What are the best gifts that God has given us that becomes the foundation on which to obey the fundamental command and God's will for my life, that is, no matter what happens, be thankful. Here it is. One, the first one I could think of is not just the gift of life, that's one thing, but the gift of abundant life as a promise from God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. abundant life. This is the promise and the gift of God. So I want to ask you a question. Are you enjoying abundant life? Full life, rich life, life that overflows with every single passing day. Are you today, for example, full of joy or full of pain? Are you full of happiness because you make a choice? Or are you just simply full of resentment and regret? You get to choose how you respond to this gift. This is God's gift, abundant life. One of the fundamental things that you have to do about a gift is you have to receive it and then you have to open it, right? That's why Christmas is so cool. Opening gifts, unwrapping stuff, and revealing, even if it's stuff you already know you're going to get, right? And on Christmas, you don't just say, oh, I know I'm going to get an iPod and say, here it was from the Walmart bag. No, you wrap it up. You make it special. God has wrapped up abundant life in Jesus Christ, the greatest package the world has ever known, and said, here it is. It is yours. I will run the universe. I will take care of you and everyone else. All you've got to do is get up every day, no matter what happens. Do not determine or define me. You're loving God by the circumstances. Define the circumstances in light of who I am. Right? Abundant life. Yea, God, one master donor in a good mood, giving me all good things. I have abundant life. Every single day, I have the life of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live forever. I am loved. I am pursued constantly. I walk in God's favor as God's son or daughter. That's an affirmation. I'm thanking God every day for abundant life, rich life, full life. Here's another special gift. The gift of true, genuine, authentic freedom. Everyone wants to be free, right? We want to be free from working at a place where we can't stand anyone and they cannot stand us. We want to be free from a government who spends more money than they take in from taxes. We want to be free. We want to be free from the weird family that keeps sucking us back into their weirdness. We want to be free from our own sins and weaknesses. Don't we all want to be free? There is only one source, a genuine freedom. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I think that's a unique statement. I think it's because Paul knew there are so many things we're so easily brought back into bondage. Some of you right now are walking in bondage of the past, of unforgiveness, of greed, of anger. You're hacked off at God because your life isn't turning out the way you think it ought to turn out. And so there is no joy. There is no peace. There are no dreams. There are no plans for the future for you because you just simply are in bondage. See, freedom in Christ works this way. There's freedom from. I am free from the dread of dying and standing before God and having to give an account for my life. I want to stand in judgment. The Bible says it is appointed once unto man to die and after that the judgment. We're all going to die. That's an appointment we're all going to keep. But when I stand to give an accounting before God, I'm not going to stand alone. Jesus is going to stand with me and say, he's with me. I'm totally free from the fear of being unloved, uncared for, and uncelebrated. I am free to dream, aspire, plan, engage my life fully in being who God created me to be. Think of this. Your life, I'm going to prove this in just a second. Your life is not your idea. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever said, I didn't ask to be born? Have your kids ever said that? Well, that would be true. It is true, isn't it? You didn't ask to be born. God created you. But have you ever stopped to think that he had something significant in mind when he did? Something for you to be, to do, There's freedom from the bondage, from the pain, from the shame, and the freedom to extend, to stand up and stand out and be something in this world. Amen? To do something, have something, to contribute something, to make something of myself. Amen. Be done with lesser things. Let's go on to bigger, badder, bolder things, right? Yes, Dave, that's what I would do. Thank you there, empty chair. We believe you. We really believe you. But also there's a third part of true, genuine freedom, and that's a freedom under. Freedom from, freedom to, freedom under. Freedom under the loving lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. It is not my body to do anything I please. I am accountable. Yea, God. And when I have that Trinity from, to, and under, I am truly free. I mean, think about it. You are free to do anything. You can go anywhere from here. Anywhere. Except Glasgow, Kentucky. You cannot get there from here, but you can go almost anywhere from here, right? Your life can be anything you and God can make it. You have no one to blame. You have no excuses to make. If you walk in true freedom and abundant life, you have two of God's absolutely best gifts. And dag nabbit, he sent me here to tell you. So you've been told. If that's not enough, you have the gift of God's redeeming love. I said to you a second ago that your life was not your idea. I'm going to prove it. Greater love has no one than this. This is John 15. That he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Someone has said the only thing better than owning a boat is having rich friends who own a boat. I have never owned a boat, but I have enjoyed many boats. Someone says the only thing better than owning your own Learjet is having friends who own a Learjet. I have, believe it or not, some friends who have a Learjet. I have never paid to ride in one, right? The only thing better than having something is having a friend who out of love and grace invites you in to their life. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and be freaking miserable. But don't worry, you'll go to heaven and it'll all be worth it. But right now, it's just pain and misery and putting up with your mother-in-law. Other than that, I love you. That's what it says in the Greek, right? I've never been, this is a fundamental, amazing statement to me. Maybe it's not to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. I look at people and I think, what makes people different? I look at my brother and I. My brother died 1995 from a cirrhosis of the liver, a long struggle with alcohol. What a sweet guy. Yeah, we make different choices. I want to think, why did I make a different choice? He made a different choice. Have you ever just looked and said, you know, why? I don't know about you. I feel incredibly, at this point in my life, grateful. I look at some of the things. And I know this is not about me, but I don't know any way to. I mean, sometimes you know, it's like I use Colgate. You should use it too, because I still have all my teeth, right? I mean, I have been following Jesus all of my life, and I have to say, yay, God, this stuff works. There's no question in my mind that God rescued me from me. That he put into my life good people. People to teach me and love me and help me and lift me and guide me. And I have to believe I'm not the only one he does that for. course, unless maybe I'm wrong and I am more special than you, which could be true. I'm ordained, so that makes me a little more special than you, right? I mean, I'm sitting here today thanking God for abundant life, true, genuine, full life, where I am absolutely, genuinely, truly free, and I have God's redeeming love. He has chosen me and appointed me to go out and make something big of my life, right? I mean, Christians ought to be taking over the world, not through legislation, but we just ought to be out loving, out living, and outlasting everyone else. Right? Instead of sad dog spreading gloom. That's just my opinion. The gift of a true abundant life, the gift of genuine freedom, the gift of redeeming love. Here's another thing I'm thanking God for today, is the gift of meaningful work. Not just work. Work is okay. Work is a good thing. I can't see myself ever retiring, dying, slipping into senility, but not working. Whose idea was that? Let's have retirement. Let's all move to South Florida, right? Buy a condo that will be blown away every time a hurricane comes across that slender peninsula. Spend our lives standing in line at Home Depot buying plywood. Yeah, that's a good thing. Or let's buy a motorhome and traverse the country, finding a place to park. Wondering if I can get that thing through the McDonald's drive-thru. Amen? Really? This is what you want to do with the rest of your life? Not me. I love what Solomon said. This is what I have observed to be good. That it is appropriate for a person to eat. Woo! Amen? I love to eat. Not that I, you know, not big L, but little L. It's good to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days that God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God, here it is, gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, and let me stop and remind you that though they are not necessarily one and the same. And then aren't we really amazing in America? We work and slave to get stuff, and then after we get it, we work and slave to try to protect it, or we're engaged in the upkeep of it. Remember years ago, I put together a slip and slide, a little swing thing for my daughters. This is forever ago, and we got this thing from Sears, and I read the instructions. Number one, they didn't work. Duh. Number two, when I finally got it up, I read the maintenance instructions. And if I did everything on that I would every Saturday for the rest of my life would have been engaged in tightening and adjusting or doing something to that stupid swing. How many of you know that sometimes you get stuff and then stuff gets you? And you just have more stuff to maintenance, more stuff to store. God gives you wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil. This is a gift from God. I'm just telling you where I am. Every Sunday morning is like Christmas for me. Every day I sit down to write or sit down to help or sit down to engage in my calling, I'm filled with joy and energy. That has not always been true, but thank God at my age, it is true. Now again, I'm special and different than most of you, and I don't think you can expect to have the level of joy that I do because I'm spiritual. But maybe we have a lot more to be thankful for than we have considered. Maybe one of God's best gifts is abundant life and genuine freedom and redeeming love and the gift of meaningful work, work that matters and makes a difference. I have stopped worrying about how fast I'm going to get to my goals and just every day making sure that I'm advancing in the right direction. Amen. The journey is the joy. It really is. And if there aren't goals and dreams beyond the goals and dreams you have today, you're going to wake up one day and be bored and boring and mad and messed up, and we're going to have to put up with you. That sucks, doesn't it? God. I better be careful my language, haven't I? Sorry. Boy, every week Paula says, you got to clean up your language, man. I'm trying. That's another reminder. That's not pleasant, is it? It's not that funny. Everybody stop laughing. The gift of abundant life, of true freedom, of redeeming love, of meaningful work. Here's another gift. I bet you probably haven't thought about this in a while. The gift of pain. Have you ever noticed that the three reasons people change? Because they have to, because they want to, and because the pain is so great, they must. Most of us change through pain. I love Romans 8. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What things? Through the trials and the tribulations. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to rip us apart from the love of God that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm convinced of. I've seen an awful lot of joy in life, more than I deserve, but I've also seen an awful lot of pain. And here's what I've found. There is always a divine purpose in the pain. God wastes no suffering or pain if we are in the right mindset to receive its lesson. Pain is something we're all going to experience. It doesn't matter how good you try to be. Pain is a part of life. But if you look at it, if you really believe in your soul that I have abundant life in Jesus Christ, that I am truly free under his loving authority, that I have every single day surrounding me his redeeming love, if I'm engaged in meaningful work, work for which I was created, then if that's true, then oftentimes pain is what keeps me moving forward. Because when you're in pain, have you ever noticed that when you're in pain, one of the best things you can do is keep moving? I went through a period of my life about, 4 or 5 years ago. For about 2 years, I was in constant chronic back pain. I don't know how I got it. I'm not sure how I got it. The only thing I could do was keep moving. You ever had that happen? If I moved, I was okay. But if I stood anywhere, it was misery. If it rained, it was misery. I went to therapy. I went to chiropractors. I went to doctors. I did everything. And all of a sudden, one day, it went away. I have no back pain. I have no pain whatsoever. But when someone comes up to me and says, man, my back is hurting, I can relive that. Anybody ever had that happen? I remember. I don't say, well, no, that's right. I'm sorry for that. I go, oh, dudette, I'm with you. You've never had it. You've never understood it. And pain is that way. God gives us the gift of pain. The gift of suffering, to allow us to push deeper into him. He says, if we will turn our hearts and minds toward him, nothing can separate us from him. Amen? I know it's a muted amen. I understand because you don't want to say amen because maybe goes, oh, you said you want some pain? Good, I'll let you have some. Don't worry, we'll get to you. There's a gift of sustaining grace. The gift of sustaining grace. I think we often forget that that all of the characters of the Bible paid a great price for their faith. You think of the disciples and all the New Testament characters. These were people who made their confessions under the threat of death. As a matter of fact, most of them died a martyr's death. The question is, why would they do that if it were not true? I love what Paul says. He rehearses to all the believers in the churches his journey. He says, in great endurance and troubles and hardships and distresses and beatings, imprisonments and riots and hard work, sleepless nights and hunger and pure impurity, understanding. In other words, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit. I gave sincere love even when I was betrayed, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness and the right and left hand, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet living on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, yet making many rich. And here it is, having nothing and yet possessing everything. That's us. That is your story, and that is your shout. I mean, think about it. The Bible is honest enough to say, naked you came into the world, and naked you're going to leave. Everything goes back in the box, right? Ever played Monopoly? Some of you are really good at it. Years ago, we were on vacation over in South Carolina, and we were, you know, it was late. It was one of those beautiful nights and long days, and we're playing Monopoly, and I just crushed every member of my family. I had Boardwalk, I had the utilities, I had the railroads. Every time I would get $200, every time I passed go, I had get out of jail cards. It was awesome. I'd bankrupt two of my daughters. I was on the way to bankrupt my wife. About 12:15, they all said, okay, let's go to bed. Hey, Daddy, put it all back in the box. What? What? You know what I got for my crushing victory? I got to put it all back in the box. And let's be honest. Every good and perfect gift is from God. One master donor. Yay, God, for our homes. And yay, God, for our 401ks. And yay, God, for our iPhones. And if you don't have one, you know, you should. What, and yay, God, for all the cool stuff. Yay, God, for our wardrobe. Yay, God, for it all. But you all know it's all going away. It's all going away. The only thing you really have is what you have inside of you. And so one of God's very best gifts is his sustaining grace. Paul says, you know what? I've gone through just about every situation you can imagine, and I'm still saying, yay, God. Yay, God, I'm alive. Yay, God, I'm still in the game. Yay, God, I got a hand over here and a hand over here. I got two legs. I can see, I can move, I can make something of myself. Take everything away from me and I'll get it all back. I'm thanking God for his gift of his sustaining grace, understanding that I have everything I need. I am, as that great theologian Ernest Hemingway said, a movable feast. Amen. I just go. I feel sorry for people. Have you ever had frou-frou food? I feel sorry for people who have to eat that stuff or they can't enjoy life. I enjoy frou-frou food. I love it. I love the artistic nature. I love the discipline. I enjoy it. But you know what? I also like a good rack of ribs. Amen. I can soak it in sauce. I love a good spinach salad. Huh? But I also love a good bacon burger. Amen. I feel sorry for you who can't make a palace out of a portable closet. You carry your atmosphere. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I carry everything I need for life and godliness with me. Here's the last one. The gift of today. Yay, God. I woke up today and I decided this is going to be a really good day. I chose. Now listen, those of you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city and spend a year and carry on business. Why do you not even know what's going to happen tomorrow? What is your life? It is a mist. It appears for a while and then it is gone. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do today and doesn't do it sins against God, humanity, the future, the family, and all things holy and good. Today, you can go anywhere from today, right? You can change your life beginning today. You don't like your life? Make another choice. When? Today. You don't like the state of your marriage? Your husband is a jerk? You can change your whole life today. How? By choosing to be the kind of wife that loves this jerk into submission. Or maybe that stuff doesn't work. Which are you going to be? Someone who takes today and sacrifices it on the altar of the pain and regret of the past, or the altar of one day something's going to happen and I'm going to get mine. I'm here to tell you in God's name, there is no future in the past. Father, I bow before you this morning and ask you to take what we've learned here today, seven simple statements that describe your best gifts. Anyone in this room who is mad and angry and upset and has no joy or gratitude can change that all today. Today, I can make another choice. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior. Today, I walk in His abundant life. Today, I live in His freedom. Today, I embrace His redeeming love. Today, I rely on His sustaining grace. Today, I will engage in meaningful work. Father, we love you for today. Yay, God, for today. And all God's people said, amen. Go get them.